body of Christ. Things are changing. We got to move on with God. We can never fly back. We got to move on and on and on. God is moving. You know, from last year to this year, many things have changed. Even in the technology of the world, things are changing. And so this morning, I want to share, not a message, I want to share a prophetic word. Things will change. Prophetic word. One of the key emphases on the body of Christ Children's Church. One of the key emphases now in the body of Christ is the presence of God. Say presence of God. Say presence of God. Say presence of God. You've got to cultivate the presence of God, and the key person is the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Holy Spirit? The day you were born again until now, do you know the Holy Spirit more and more? Every day we got to increase presence of God. Those who got married, the first day you know your wife, and then as you go older, you know your wife better and better and better and better. Same with the Holy Spirit. You got to know Him better and better and better. Join one with the Lord, and you will increase the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
The presence of God. Say with me, presence of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Say with me, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The presence of God is here. We are the body of Christ. Say with me. We are the body of Christ. The presence is here. Okay, both presence, collectively, individually, there is presence. Do you know it's dangerous to go anywhere without the presence of God? Some countries, I cannot go without the presence of God. It's dangerous. Say it's dangerous. Cultivate the presence of God. It's not difficult. The presence of God, it's spiritual. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. He's there always, 24/7. Acknowledge Him. Okay, this morning I have two messages for the body of Christ. Not only for you, but also speaking in the air to the body of Christ in this city, to the city of Perth and even nationwide. A prophetic word that will change the entire thing. In Matthew chapter, I got two prophetic, first part I want to talk. Matthew chapter 16, verse 10. I'm going to talk to you. You know, when Jesus delegated His authority to the nations of the world, His disciples and all, gave them power, and He gave them, and He said, I'm sending you, say with me, I'm sending you.
I'm sending you.
I'm sending you, and He mentions this Matthew chapter 10. 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Jesus, when He sent His disciples, today we are the world, we are the church. Jesus is sending us. And the first thing He said this, can you read this? Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and not harmless as doves. There is another twin verse that I want to just take on is Luke chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Jesus talked about His burden of the harvest. He said the harvest is very great, but they will serve you. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Luke chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Okay, read with me.
Then He said to them, the harvest is really great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves.
Jesus said this word. He said, I send you out as sheep in Matthew chapter 10. He said, I send you up as sheep. Say with me, sheep.
Sheep.
I send you up as sheep among wolves. What does it mean? That in Luke chapter 10, He says this, I send you as lambs among wolves. when Jesus said this, he delegated to his representative, to us with authority, he gave us a key how to handle. You're going into the world, you're going among as sheep among wolves. But what is the answer? There are wolves and we are sheep. We are sheep. I just want to qualify before I go further. God gave us delegated authority as representative. If you go down to the particular verse, he's saying, he that hears you, hears me. He that receives you, receives the one who sent me. In other words, we are carriers of God. When Jesus said, those who hear you, hear Jesus. He who hears you and receive you, receive Jesus, receive God. So that was, we bring God into the midst of the world, among wolves. And in fact, they're going to change the wolves.
Yeah.
And so, in order to, Jesus gave us two clues how to handle life when you go into this two knife edge where there's going to be hostility and difficulty. God is with us as sheep. We carry God. Our words, our life, our testimony talks about God. And those who receive Christ and receive God. But how do we handle our lives? Number one, Jesus said, be wise as serpents. Say with me, be wise,
be wise
as serpents,
as
innocent as dove. Say, read with me. Be wise as serpents and innocent as dove. Two clues. One is be wise, and then another one be innocent. Two things you have. In the world of nature, we know Satan, or you know, Satan, serpent, is a very despised creature. Ever since the fall, no one likes serpents. No one will take serpent as a pet. We dislike it. And so the survival of a serpent on this planet Earth, where so many, everybody wants to take a stick and hit the snake. Everybody wants to kill a snake. If he appears somewhere, we are frightened and we want to destroy the snake or serpent. That is our fears. And so serpent has a certain way of making his survival into this planet Earth. And one of the things God put into serpent is his skin. The skin of the serpent is very sensitive to danger. Say, sensitive to danger.
Sensitive
to danger.
Okay,
this is one thing. He knows when he goes across the field or in down he goes, he knows if someone is coming in. He knows danger. He runs away. Another quality of Satan is, serpent is, each time in its corner, he knows how to strike. These are two qualities that Satan or serpent has. The serpent will have that. One is being sensitive to dangers. So when dangers approach, he either camouflages with the soil that nobody will know that he's there or she's there, or it flees away. Or if it's cornered, it strike and it strike well. Jesus said, when you go into the world, I sent you out. The word I sent is the same word. I dedicated to you an apostolic. I dedicated you, I sent you out as lambs among wolves. Be wise as serpent, and then be innocent as dove. God, in order to walk in this world of so much of things happening, and many things we do not know, many things are spiritual, there's a quality that the Holy Spirit will alert and give you, a sense of danger. Whatever you are doing, God will let you know whether it's dangerous or not. That is one quality that you, that is first. When you go, when you begin to preach the gospel, when you begin to talk to people, God will show certain dangers that are coming in. You've got to run or to fight. This is the quality that God wants you to have. Wise as serpents. Said wise and simple. Quality of sensing the dangers. That is what is needed. You know, if you do not know, this is what the gift of discerning of spirit and discernment, which you qualify, which you build it up, is so important, because there's so much of error, deception, ignorance in the world. And we, as representative of God, can be vulnerable. God said, be sensitive to danger. How are we going to be sensitive to danger? Number one is the Holy Spirit will guide you.
Amen.
Number two, the Word of God will guide you. I mentioned many times, but I don't apologize for telling this, when I first got saved, the pastor who led me and gave me all the follow-up told me the Ten Commandments. And these Ten Commandments hit me, and not that I'm perfect, but I know when danger comes, the Ten Commandments. Something quickens me, this is wrong directed. The Word of God, say with me, the Word of God. And if you're still not very sensitive, then God will raise up authorities, pastors, teachers, and they will correct you. They will tell you right and wrong. If you have a ear to hear what they are saying is warning against dangers, knowing dangers, because many of us are built up in such a way in our lives, we got so many things of our own ideas that are wrong. Our culture is wrong. Our background is many things are false. Our religious background, our many things are deceptive. When we come and when we become Christian, our mind need to change. And there are things that need to be corrected. And so be wise as serpent. In other words, have a mind, what is truth? Truth is Jesus. There's no other truth. Jesus and His Word is the truth. The rest is false. You can be in any religion, including religion, Christian religion. If it's not Jesus and His Word, the things are false. The best philosopher, if it's not based on the Word of God, truth. Truth is unchanging. Truth is always truth.
Yeah.
Truth will cut.
Yes.
When Jesus and His Word comes to you and you walk and you begin to preach, it cuts. Because there's only one way, truth. Say with me, truth. Be wise as serpent. Be sensitive to things that are wrong. You can walk right. True?
Yeah.
If you know the way, but if you do not know what is right and wrong, you do not know where to go. Many things God will tell you. Many things where the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and power leaders teach you and correct you. Your attitude should be, it's not attacking anybody. It is telling you to walk in truth. Safety. 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 The safety of a serpent is running away. When he senses danger, it runs away. When it's truth, he go walk in the truth. Safety, he walks in the truth. Amen?
Amen.
That's the first thing. Say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wise as serpent.
Wise as serpent.
Second, he said, be innocent as dove. Dove is a white, pigeon-like creature bird. It's found only in the Mediterranean area. It's white in color. It's the only bird, as far as I'm concerned, correct me if I'm wrong, that as far as I'm concerned, and I know, dove is the only bird that has no guile, no gallbladder. There is no gallbladder. There's nothing in a dove that is that has gallbladder. Gall. You know, say gall. Gall has to do with bitterness. Other birds and other animals have gallbladder. He simply got to say, get rid of bitterness. As long as you have bitterness, you know, the devil knows how to trick you, how to step on your toes, get emotional, get this gall. Whenever the Bible talks about gall or bitterness, then everything goes wrong. Bitterness. And learn how to handle bitterness is only forgiveness and cleansing. Because it is a poison, it's a toxic poison that kills you. The The dove is also the only bird which is white. It is a symbol of peace, symbol of the Holy Spirit. It has two wings and nine feathers on each side, gives and in the front. And its tail has five feathers, fivefold ministry. It talks about Jesus and his church. Jesus and his church. Nine fruits and nine gifts and a fivefold ministry. Talk about the church. Be innocent as dove simply means get yourself righteous before God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus, that you take no offense. You're so righteous that nobody can attack you. Even they attack you, they lose. If you accuse an innocent man, normally he wins. Somewhere or other, he'll be justified. Joseph in the Bible is one character. He was accused of immorality. He was accused of many things. Because of his rightness with God, he became a prime minister. He went in prison innocently. From prison, he became the prime minister of Egypt. Say, innocent as death. It is possible to live in innocency. It's only to the blood of Jesus. Only to the cleanse by the blood of Jesus. You got to recognize the blood of Jesus washes you and you're pure. Say with me, the blood of Jesus cleanses me and I'm pure before God. Nobody can attack you. Be wise as serpent, be innocent as dove. As you walk with these two qualities, you will be an instrument of change to the world. He talks about the demonstration of the power of God comes to wise as serpent, innocent as dove. And whatever you speak, people will hear. People who oppose you know that something is wrong with them. Amen.
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 That is the first thing I want to say. We are living in a world. Live with wisdom and innocence. Okay, the second one, the second message I want is, I call it divine U-turn by prophetic declaration. This morning, God told me, declared prophetically, that not only you will change, this church will change, the body of Christ here will change, and the city is going to change. It goes on. You know, we go through life and we are cornered sometimes in situation that you live in famine. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes so things are so difficult that you do not know how to come out. When things are pressing and you do not know where to go through, then God has to come in. I ask the Lord, why people are in trouble? Why this person is in trouble, this church is in trouble, these people in trouble? And the Lord did not give me any answer, but he said, look at the principles of God. When you're in trouble, there are certain seasons that God can intervene, like the pool of Siloam. You remember a man who was sick for 38 years, and Jesus, and a certain season of the year, the angel comes and shifts the water, and the first one to jump in to get healed. That is a season. Seven seasons. Others is because of prayer. When Peter was put in prison, remember the early church? James was executed by Herod, and he saw that was a good thing that pleased the Jews. So he caught Peter and put him in prison, into a maximum security prison. And the church began to pray and pray and pray. You don't know what they are praying. Pray and pray and pray and pray. And then, just the night before, when Herod wanted to bring and execute Peter, an angel of the Lord came in and woke him up and led him up to safety and said, go. When you pray, angel intervention comes in. And for the government. So prayer, every prayer is heard. I am now at this stage spending more time in prayer. More time in prayer because God said, I call you for prayer. Prayer. Because there's someone that has to go into the spirit realm to see what is happening and what God is doing. And when you pray in the spirit, by the way, you pray in spirit, so you pray in the tongues of men and of angels. You activate angels to our aid by praying in the spirit. Another one is a famine or a problem can be broken by prophetic declaration. And today I want Amy to read this particular passage. Okay, 2 Kings 56, verse 24 to verse 24. Listen, this is the message.
Second Kings chapter 6, verse 24. Afterwards, Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered his whole army and went up and sieged Samaria. And a great famine came to Samaria. They besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 40 shekels of silver, and a fourth of a cap of dove's dung, a wild vegetable, for 5 shekels of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help, my lord, O king!" He said, "For it does not help you. No, let the Lord help you. From where can I get you help? Out of the threshing floor or out of the winepress?" And the king said to her, "What ails you?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give me your son, so we may eat him tomorrow, and we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give your son, so we may eat him.' But she had hid her son. Then the king heard the woman's words. He rent his clothes. As he went on upon the wall, the people looked, and behold, he wore sackcloth inside on his flesh. Then he said, 'May God do so to me, and more also, if the head of Elijah, son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day.' Now Elijah sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him to behead Elisha. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, 'See how this son of Jezebel, a murderer, is sending to remove my head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it fast against him. Is not the sound of his master's feet just behind him?' And while Elisha was talking with them, and behold, the messenger came to him. And then the king came also. And the relenting king said, 'This evil is from the Lord. Why should I any longer wait, expecting him to withdraw his punishment? What, Elisha can be done now?'" Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then the captain on whose hand the king leaned answered, "The man of God said, 'If the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?' But Elisha said, 'You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it.' Now 4 men who were lepers were at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to one another, 'Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the army of the Syrians. If they spare us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we shall but die.' So they arose in the twilight and went to the Syrian camp. And when they came to the edge of the camp, no man was there. For the Lord had made the Syrian army hear a noise of chariots and horses, the noise of a great army. They had said to one another, 'The king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to come upon us.' So the Syrians arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents, horses, donkeys, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into one tent, and ate and drank, and carried away silver, gold, and clothing, and went and hid them in the darkness. Then they entered another tent, and carried from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, 'We are not doing right. This is a day of glad good news, and we are silent and do not speak up. If we wait until daylight, some punishment will come upon us for not reporting at once. So now come, let us go and tell the king's household.' So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city. They told them, 'We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was neither sight nor sound nor man there, only the horses and donkeys tied, and the tents as they were.' Then the gatekeepers called out, and it was told to the king's household within. And the king rose in the night and said to his servants, 'I will tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking, when they come out of the city, we shall take them alive and get into the city. One of his servants said, "Let some men take 5 of the remaining horses. If they are caught and killed, they will be no worse off than all the multitude of Israel left in the city to be consumed. Let us send and see." So they took 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." They went after them to the Jordan. All the way was strewn with clothing and equipment, which the Syrians had cast away in their flight. And the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of 5 flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, as the Lord had spoken through Elisha. The king had appointed the captain on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate, and the starving people trampled him in the gate as they struggled to get through for food. And he died as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to him. When the man of God had told the king, 2 measures of barley shall sell for a shekel, and a measure of 5 flour for a shekel tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria. The captain had told the man of God, "If the Lord should make windows in heaven, could such a thing be?" And he said, "You shall see it with your own eyes, but you shall not eat of it." And so it was fulfilled to him, for the people trampled on him in the gate, and he died.
Amen. Amen. Syria had a famine. The Syrian had a famine that was unbearable. All food stuffs, and they began to go into cannibalism. There was no food, no threshing floors, nothing. Only 5 horses. When you look, only 5 horses of the army was prepared, and only 2 chariots. It was bankrupt. It was really in a point of death. At that time, a prophetic word changed the course of Samaria. This morning, the prophetic word from the Lord is, your famine has ended.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, whatever you are struggling in, whatever you are, you do not have to find what is the source of my problem, what is the source of my family, what is the source of my struggle, what is the source of everything. You do not have to go backtrack that. It doesn't help. But the prophetic word is like this. He said, "And tomorrow at twilight, there will be food sold at the gate of Samaria." This morning I want to say to you, whatever it is, I'm speaking to you as individual, I'm speaking to you as church, I'm speaking to the body of Christ, to the city of Perth, and even the nation. Yeah. I want to say, your famine has ended now.
Yes.
The voice of what I'm declaring. Yes. Your famine has ended. Yes. Everything has been cancelled. Yes. Your debts have been cancelled.
Yes.
Your struggles of relationship has cancelled.
Yes.
Everything that is financial, everything that is negative, yes, has now ended.
Yes.
And God is saying, a divine U-turn has come.
Yes.
A divine U-turn. I want you to receive. Raise your hand if this is what a divine U-turn has come at this time, at this particular time. Let me look at the watch. 10:37 a.m. at this time, a divine intervention has come. I speak right now, divine intervention, and everyone who's hearing this voice, this declaration, divine U-turn.
Yes.
Divine turn around.
Yes.
In your company, in your family, in your health,
yes,
in your problems,
yes,
in your finances, a divine unity,
yes,
a divine U-turn,
yes,
not by might,
yes,
not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes.
Because we have come to a place there's no help except God.
Yes.
Divine U-turn.
Yes.
Changes. Divine U-turn.
Yes.
Shout it be divine U-turn.
Yes.
Shout it be divine U-turn.
Yes.
Shout be divine U-turn.
Yes.
Divine intervention.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I speak God is in you.
Amen.
And in the kingdom of God is peace. Joy. Peace is here. You don't have to go. In kingdom of God is righteousness. Joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Take heart. Yeah. In the kingdom of God, the presence of God is here.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I want the musician to come. And let's sing this song. I want you to bathe in this prophetic word.
Yeah.
Things have changed. Things are changing. Amen.